Welcome to Regulate and Rewire, an anxiety and depression podcast where we discuss the things I wish someone would have taught me earlier in my healing journey. I'm your host, Amanda Armstrong, and I'll be sharing my steps, my missteps, client experiences, and tangible research-based tools to help you regulate your nervous system, rewire your mind, and reclaim your life. Thanks for being here. Now let's dive in. Let's start today off with a question. So I want to know, are you ever overstimulated by sounds? Does it ever feel like normal everyday sounds are just too loud? Does it ever feel like there's just way too much coming into your ears? Like you might explode if anybody makes any more noises. And I ask this because I told a story on my Instagram a couple months ago about how this is something that I notice happening for me, especially when I'm feeling stressed. And I kind of made a joke that the sound that usually puts me over the edge is actually my kitchen fan. You know, the one that you use on your microwave that you turn on when you're cooking so that it sucks up the smoke or whatever. And I was shocked by how many people sent me a DM and were like, oh my gosh, it's not just me. I hate the sound of the fan. That just is like my nails on a chalkboard. And I, in this story, was sharing how I was cooking dinner and my husband came up behind me and pushed that button to turn on the fan. And I just snapped. I snapped like big time. That sound was just the last drop in my stress bucket. And another example of how this shows up for me sometimes is when we're driving. Like if the kids are in the back whining and my husband has music on, especially if my husband is trying to like talk to me while the kids are whining in the back and the music is on, I get so, so overstimulated, so overwhelmed. And the one thing I've noticed for me too is that it's not always. Like sometimes I can turn the kitchen fan on like a reasonable and responsible adult and it's no problem. Sometimes there can be music playing while our family's being rowdy and doing like a Saturday morning cleaning sesh. And other times all those layering sounds make me want to absolutely crawl out of my skin. And this conversation has been coming up more and more and more. And so I figured we'd talk about it because this is something that I've only been able to articulate as part of my personal experience of dysregulation for probably a couple years now. So I remember early in my marriage, a few times I would just snap at my husband for whistling or clapping or turning music on when there was other noise happening. And he found himself saying things like, you snap out of nowhere. Like, I don't understand why you go from zero to 10 so fast sometimes. And he was absolutely right to bring that up. That's how it looked from the outside. And even sometimes how it felt. Because I have such a high tolerance for a high stress load, I don't always notice when my system is tense, when I'm so activated, and it does feel like, you know, that pin drops and I explode. Other times I explained to him how I know on the outside it feels like I go from zero to 10, but on the inside it was like, have my mind going a million miles a minute. I'm doing the dishes. The kids are over here. And it just boiled up and whatever you just did was the last straw. And it took me a long time to be able to realize that when I was feeling stressed, I was especially sensitive to sound. Like sound was like pouring lighter fluid on the fire. And recognizing that has been really, really helpful. And that awareness opened up and continues to open up the possibility for me to do things differently, for me to notice that I'm stressed and to know that that's when the music needs to go off, to wear noise-canceling headphones, to step outside and take some breaths for a moment, to choose to just simply smoke up my kitchen or open some windows instead of running that fan. And this awareness gives you choice. And so much of what I hope to give you in all of the episodes on this podcast is some of that education, that awareness that gives you choice in how to move through your life a little bit differently to lead to more regulation. And with this awareness and this choice, it led to really helpful communication with my husband. I remember reflecting back on a specific situation a few days earlier where I was in the kitchen and he was trying to say something to me from down our hall. And I was having a hard time hearing him. And then I less than kindly just like hollered, like, if you want to come talk to me, then come here. Like, stop yelling at me from down the hall. Which sometimes we talk to each other from down the hall and it's no problem. And he was frustrated because he's like, look, we do this. We talk loudly, we respond to each other from down the hall. And then sometimes I do it and you snap, and that unpredictability of whether that was an okay thing to do or a not okay thing to do, right? We've all been there. And I, a few days later, this was where I had this like aha moment that I became so auditorily overstimulated when I was stressed was, and I just reflected back to him. I was like, remember how I snapped while I was cooking the other day? I think I figured something out. I've noticed that sounds can be really overwhelming for me if I'm feeling at all stressed. And that night I hadn't slept well. I spent a long time working on my computer. I've got a lot of things that I'm juggling right now. And at that time, you might not have noticed, but Cade was in the living room really close to me and he was playing loudly. The music was going. You had just been whistling. I was cooking and you trying to talk to me and me not being able to hear you. And there's only so many times you can ask, what did, what'd you say before that really just was the last straw. So if you are somebody who is resonating with any of these stories, this is something that's referred to oftentimes as auditory overstimulation. And it is essentially sensory overload specifically to sounds. And this, like I just shared, is a conversation that's been coming up more and more and more in the membership. And it was actually a really simple question that was submitted to a question box on my Instagram stories this weekend that prompted having this conversation here on the podcast today. Someone simply wrote in, I'm so overstimulated by sounds. Why does this happen and what can I do? So these are the questions that I want to answer. Number one, kind of what is this auditory overstimulation? Number two, why does it happen? And number three, what can you do if this is something that you or your partner or somebody that you know struggles with in part of their anxiety journey? Let's go to question number one, which is what is it? So auditory overstimulation is a form of sensory overload. And it might be that you are experiencing an overwhelming amount of sounds. It might be that you find certain sounds uncomfortable or overstimulating when not everybody might. So you likely struggle from auditory overstimulation if certain sounds that would be within a normal range for most people feel overstimulating for you, whether that's a particular sound that a lot of people can just allow to go to the background, or like my husband has no problem being in the car with like kids whining in the background, the window being down, us trying to talk, music. And I very much do. And you might experience this overstimulation as feeling stress or anxiety creeping up. Maybe it leads to difficulty concentrating. You might feel just additionally drained or overwhelmed when you've been in loud places. What often happens is you start to notice a desire to withdraw, to escape if there's too much noise around. And there's a lot of different ways that this might show up for you. But to keep things simple, answering this question of what is it? What is auditory overstimulation? This could simply mean that you are overwhelmed by sounds. Sounds feel overwhelming to you either always, or you might notice that it's particularly overwhelming when you are stressed or anxious. And this might seem like a little thing if you don't struggle with it, but if you do, this can lead to difficulty in social settings. It could potentially trigger withdrawal or isolation. It could lead to increased challenges at work or in school. It increases stress levels, anxiety, and reactivity. And it can just feel like this awful hamster wheel of When I'm stressed, I'm more easily overwhelmed by sounds, which makes me more stressed. And this can lead to anxiety, panic, or even overload to the point of your system just shutting down, where you just dissociate or you separate. So that's what it is. Now, question number two, which is, why does this happen? And to answer this question, I want to start with an example to bring what might feel like sciencey explanations to life a little better and in a more practical way. So I recently had a conversation with one of the members inside my Rise membership. This is a mid 30-something working mom who was feeling increasingly stressed and overwhelmed lately. She talked about juggling deadlines and childcare, household responsibilities, and all of this she noticed was just taking a toll on her nervous system. Part of that was that she noticed recently that everyday sounds were starting to feel unbearable. The clattering of dishes while washing up, the chatter of her kids playing, and she even mentioned that the hum of the refrigerator was just, she could hear it. It felt so loud. It was making, I think in her words, it's driving me nuts. Just that silly sound that I feel like I've gone years without ever noticing is driving me nuts. This extra layer of sound sensitivity was causing her to have a lower tolerance for her kids. She was more snappy with them. She was noticing the noises in her office. Even the subtle noise of her coworkers typing felt really, really distracting. And she also noticed that she was saying no to things that she actually wanted to go to simply because she was avoiding any possibility of feeling more overwhelmed. And so in this conversation, we talked about two possible explanations for her experience. Number one was nervous system dysregulation. So we talked about how due to what was becoming chronic stress, her sympathetic nervous system, so that's that activated yellow zone, her sympathetic nervous system was likely very overactive. So this was keeping her in that constant state of fight or flight. And this hyperarousal can manifest in a lot of different ways, one of which is amplifying our perception of sounds. And that is happening on a physiological level. And I'll go into more detail about that in a minute. But when we are in this sympathetic activated state, it can amplify sounds, making ordinary sounds feel overwhelming. So like she said, typing, her coworkers typing wasn't something she'd ever really noticed in her workplace. And now it was all she could notice. It felt distracting. It felt deafening. And the second possible explanation for this increase in auditory sensitivity, we talked about maybe involving her auditory limbic connection. So the constant noise in her environment combined with her stress. And this could potentially be triggering more negative emotions like frustration and worry, disrupting the connection between her auditory system and her limbic system. And these emotional responses further amplify the perceived loudness and discomfort of the sounds. So if that sounded confusing, if that felt confusing, just hold on a second. We'll talk more about that in a minute. If this is something that you struggle with, this auditory sensitivity, I do just want to put a plug in that there are sometimes other underlying conditions. It's well known that autism or ADHD and auditory overstimulation are often related. But where I want to focus our conversation on today, and what I think applies to most of you listening to a podcast like mine, are the two reasons I mentioned in the example. Starting with what I think is the most common cause of auditory overstimulation, which is nervous system dysregulation. So when you are in a fight or flight state, that activated yellow zone, it can amplify the perception of sound. It changes the way that our auditory system works, again, making even normal sounds feel overwhelming. So when your nervous system is in that sympathetic activated state, your body changes physiologically in very real, very measurable ways, and your auditory system is part of that. So when that fight-flight response is activated or you're in that state, you release hormones like adrenaline. that heighten your overall alertness and increase your sensitivity to sounds. And in this state, our nervous system also prioritizes survival-related sounds. So things like footsteps or alarms or approaching voices, all of these things that when you're in a regulated state, that green zone, your parasympathetic nervous system's activated, those things might just be background noise, but they become more prominent and easier to detect when you are in a state of fight or flight. So think about it. If you are out to lunch with a friend, or maybe you're walking to the restaurant and you're engaged in a good conversation, you're feeling safe, you're socially connected, you likely aren't conscious of the sound of footsteps of other people walking around you. If a car alarm goes off in the distance, maybe you notice it, but you're not alarmed by it, you're not jarred by it, you're not worried about it. If there's another group of people having a conversation who are approaching, who are walking up behind you, again, maybe you're aware, maybe you don't even hear those noises because you are present and you're focused, you're engaged, you feel safe. But when we're in that activated state, certain sounds become much more prominent, much easier to detect. And when a lot of those things are happening at the same time, that layering of sounds can feel really overwhelming. And while in that activated state, certain sounds become clearer, another thing that shifts in our auditory system is that our ability to distinguish between different sounds can be compromised. So this could make it harder to understand speech in a noisy environment. It can, like I just stated, make it harder to filter out background noise. And this is likely what was happening for me when my husband was trying to talk to me from down the hall. My system was already stressed out. I was in that sympathetic nervous system state. My auditory system couldn't filter out the background noise between the music and the kitchen sounds and my son. And it just, like I said, asking what'd you say was what sent me over the edge. So that heightened sensitivity to sound when you're in a state of stress or activation, that can also lead to a stronger startle response. And it's that jump or flinch that pumps even more adrenaline into your system, reinforcing that need to stay hyper aware. So what this all boils down to is that being in a heightened emotional state can amplify the perception of sound, which leads me to the second thing I talked about in that example. And for this, I'm going to get a little bit nerdy and into the weeds for a few minutes, and then I promise I will crawl back out to answer that third question, offering some supportive suggestions on what you can do if you or somebody you love struggles with this auditory overstimulation. So let's talk more about this thing that might be happening because of what's called impaired function of the auditory limbic system. So this is the system that connects your hearing with your emotional processing. Have you ever heard a song that immediately made you feel happy or immediately made you feel sad or angry because it was tied to maybe a memory? This is part of that auditory limbic system. So this auditory limbic connection refers to the neural pathways linking the auditory cortex, which is responsible for processing sound, with the limbic system, which is involved in processing emotion and memory. And this connection between the auditory and limbic system plays a really important role in how we perceive and respond to sounds based on their emotional context. So I know this might still, some of you are like, yes, I get it. Others of you are, I don't know if I totally understand. So let me break it down. Here's how this works. Sound reaches your ears, and our ears convert sound waves into electrical signals. Then we have our auditory nerves, and these electrical signals travel through the auditory nerve to the brainstem, where we find the auditory cortex. So the brainstem relays the signals to the auditory cortex, where the sound is processed and interpreted based on its features like pitch, volume, location. And so remember, when we're in that sympathetic activated state, we have a higher sensitivity to certain pitches and volumes and location of sounds in proximity to us. Then we have our limbic system. So simultaneously, that auditory cortex transmits information to the limbic system, which is where our emotional responses happen. So this limbic system interprets the emotional significance of the sound based on your past experiences, your memories, your current emotional state, and this can influence your perception of the sound's intensity, pleasantness, or even trigger an associated emotional response. And here's what I'm talking about with some real life examples. So the first is, imagine hearing a familiar song. So the auditory cortex recognizes the sound, and then the limbic system might trigger positive emotions like nostalgia or joy based on past memories associated with that song. Another example of this could be hearing a loud car horn. So your auditory cortex identifies a sudden loud sound, and the limbic system, perceiving it as a potential threat, triggers that fight or flight response, leading to feelings of fear or anxiety. And the final example I'll share is calming music. So the auditory cortex processes the sound of this calming music, and then the limbic system interprets it as soothing or relaxing, promoting feelings of calmness and reducing stress. And one of the things that we did in last month's release class, for those of you who don't know already, I teach a monthly nervous system regulation and trauma release class. And this is part of my RISE membership, but also anybody outside of the membership. So you, if you're interested, can join this monthly class. It's about a 75-minute experiential class where you not only learn tools to regulate your nervous system, but I also weave in teaching you why and how these tools work to give you greater context to continue to build out your own regulation toolbox. So if you're curious about this class, I'll drop a link in the show notes where you can learn more. I'd love to have you join me for this month's class. But how this relates to today's conversation is that last month's class, one of the things that we did was that I played three very different sounding songs. And as a group, as we listened, we paid attention to how our brain, how our nervous system, how our emotions shifted as we listened. And it was interesting because there were certain, one of the songs in particular, where about half the group felt positive, good feeling things from it. And the other half of the group didn't. It felt a little bit irritating for their nervous system, or it made them feel sad. And so this is an example about how we're always filtering sound through our past lived experience, through our current emotional or physiological states. And so that exercise or that experience inside that release class was us playing with this auditory limbic connection and bringing awareness to that. And this really, really matters because understanding this connection, again, you know, this hamster wheel of when we're overwhelmed, sounds feel more intense. Sounds feeling more intense can increase this emotional state of overwhelm. That awareness itself, I believe, and this is what I experienced, that when I was able to make that connection and understand this, the next time I started to experience this auditory overstimulation, I was able to say, ooh, oh, this is what that is. This is why that sometimes happens. Which takes us to question number three, which is, well, what can I do? What can I do when I notice that? What can I do if this is something that I struggle with? And in answering this question, I'm also going to add some thoughts for those of you who maybe you don't struggle with it, but maybe you're like my husband and your partner does, or maybe your child does. The number one thing I want to talk about is awareness. So what can I do about this is this awareness piece to be more mindful, not only the awareness of, oh, this is a thing and this is why it happens, what you've just learned if you've listened to this conversation up to this point, but to also build some personal awareness, to be more mindful about how sounds affect you. So maybe over the next week or month, you recognize your emotional responses to sounds might feel bigger than makes sense. And when they do, is it because maybe you're stressed? Maybe it's because you didn't get a great night's sleep. Like, is there any patterning that you can acknowledge around when you feel the most auditorily overstimulated? Another layer of awareness you might want to get curious about is if there are particularly triggering sounds for you. So is that crowded environments, loud noises, sudden noises, maybe certain frequencies like high-pitched noises? Is it maybe repetitive sounds? So I know for me, one of them is repetitive sounds are pretty agitating to my system. And I've also noticed for me that it is the layering of different sounds. So like you've already heard me talk about my kids chattering, music playing, dishes moving around, my husband clapping, and always, always, always for me, that fan sound tends to be the worst. So this goes for that kitchen fan, but also it's my shower fan too. So I know if I'm feeling stressed, I absolutely will not run the bathroom fan while I'm showering. It drives my husband nuts. And he has learned the hard way that if he comes in while I'm showering to turn that fan on, and again, he's got a good reason for doing that. We don't want mold in our home. But he has learned that if he does that while I'm showering, it doesn't end well for him. And it's become a running joke in our relationship because I've had this awareness and been able to articulate to him why that feels so overstimulating for me. But just being aware of this complex interplay between our senses and our emotions, recognizing how sounds can shape our emotional landscape and also vice versa, how our nervous system state, how our emotional landscape can shape how sensitive we are to sounds, what we're hearing. So awareness is number one. What can you do about this? Awareness, awareness, awareness. And then the second thing I want to talk about to, you know, offer you some things to play with if you struggle with this is to develop strategies around number one, the sounds, sound management, and also number two, which is emotional management. Because the sounds can intensify the emotions, also your emotions can intensify the sounds. So having strategies around both can be really helpful. And when it comes to sound management, I'm that person who can sit in dead silence. If I'm driving alone, you can bet that 8 out of 10 times, if it is less than a 30-minute drive, I spend the entire drive in absolute silence. There's no podcast on, there's no music on. And it's just for me, almost like everything just has to stop. It has to stop. And so building in doses of silence is also really helpful for me. Also in college, I remember a lot of my friends, maybe most of my friends, would study with music, do their homework with music, and I could not. It needed to be silent. And I'm curious now if that would have been different if I wasn't in such a chronically stressed out state all the time. But there's part of me that wished I could. And I was like, oh, like I don't want to be the person in the study group who like can't have music on, or I wanted to, I don't know. Did I think maybe I was cooler if I could like do my homework with music on? Maybe, but sometimes I would almost force it. I'd be like, I want to practice. I want to get there. And it just did myself such a disservice because I was less productive in the studying. And so just knowing that silence is a strategy. If you need to drive in silence, do work in silence, that's okay. And this may seem silly, but another strategy could be to have earplugs or noise-canceling headphones. So I know that my sister-in-law, who has 5 kids, she walks around at least half of her day wearing her noise-canceling headphones. Also, her kids are a lot older now, so they know if they need to get her attention, how they can do that. But just dampening the never-ending noises that exist in a house with 5 kids has been really, really helpful in giving her increased emotional capacity, less reactiveness towards her kids, is just dampening that sensory input throughout the day. And so taking a moment to reflect on different strategies that you might be able to incorporate into your daily life to help manage sounds. And the second part of this is to develop strategies that help you better manage your nervous system states and your emotions. Because if you get better at regulating your fight-flight response, your stress response, in theory, you will likely have less intense sensitivity to sound. And I'm not going to spend a ton of time strategizing about how to regulate your nervous system right here in this episode, because this entire podcast is hopefully supporting you to regulate your nervous system, regulate your emotions in one way or another. Now, I want to speak to if you notice that your partner or your child might be struggling with this too. Is it possible that you can notice that they're stressed and just proactively turn music off, turn a fan off, invite them to just step outside with you for a little bit? If it's noises inside a restaurant or wherever, like, hey, let's take a minute and step out. That's something that my husband has started doing that's really helpful. Is if he notices I'm stressed, he'll make sure that there's not music or a fan on. He'll give me space to just kind of step out and away from the noise for a bit. And if you are not sure if your partner or your kid struggles with this, I think it could be a really connecting question to find some time this week and just ask them. Simply ask them, like, hey, I've got a quick question for you. Like, have you ever noticed that when you start to get stressed, that sounds feel really intense or really overwhelming? And either they're going to look at you like, oh my gosh, like, you get me. And they'll answer your question, or they're going to suspiciously ask you why. And then tell them, like, hey, I listened to this podcast this week, and she was saying that a lot of people who struggle with stress or anxiety oftentimes are overstimulated or overwhelmed by sounds. And I was just curious if you've noticed that for you, and if I might be able to help when that happens in any way. And if you know that it's your kid, like, imagine this. Imagine you have a 10-year-old who has been experiencing some extra nervousness since going to middle school, and they became really anxious at lunch. Maybe they said, like, oh, I just don't like going to lunch. Maybe that's all they've given you. It's like, yeah, I just don't like being at lunch. Well, can you get curious? Because they maybe don't even know why. Maybe it's that they've noticed that noise that they used to be okay with, noise that used to feel manageable in a cafeteria, now feels overwhelming. It's maybe even painful for their ears. Maybe they just feel like they need to escape and they don't know why. Well, in an age-appropriate way, can you help your child understand that, yeah, when we're feeling nervous or when we're feeling stressed, our ears actually become more sensitive to sounds and they can feel a lot bigger or a lot louder. And that can also make our emotions feel a lot bigger and a lot louder too. So, like, that makes sense. It makes sense that lunch is overwhelming for you because you've been sharing with me that you're a little extra nervous about being in middle school now. And so even without offering them solutions, this context of, like, hey, this thing that's happening to you makes sense can provide so much support for their experience. And then maybe you can take it a step further and problem solve with them in a personalized way. Something before we end today I want to put a plug in for is there is something called the Safe and Sound Protocol. And this was developed by Dr. Stephen Porges, who is the founder of the polyvagal theory. And this is something I've been recently looking into because a question was asked about it by one of my RISE members. And it is potentially a helpful intervention to help reduce stress and dysregulation and auditory sensitivity that I believe can be done for adults and children. So I don't know enough to give more information about it yet. Hopefully I will in a future podcast, but it does look promising. And I just wanted to give you another resource if this is something you struggle with. So I will drop a link in the show notes for more information on this SSP or Safe and Sound Protocol, and you can look into that yourself. So, all right, friends, let's bring this conversation together with three tangible takeaways. So number one is that we hear sounds differently when we are in a sympathetic state. And this can make those sounds feel overwhelming, distracting, and can increase the stress load on our system, making emotions also feel bigger or more distressing. Number two is that awareness of how you experience this is the first step. So I again just want to invite you to pay attention to when and how you notice this auditory sensitivity showing up for you most, and if there are any particular sounds or types of sounds that feel the most aggravating for your nervous system. And takeaway number three is another invitation to take time to brainstorm strategies to minimize sound better manage emotions, decrease stress as part of a larger long-term plan to decreasing the intensity in which you experience auditory overstimulation, and an invitation to bring a partner on board for that brainstorming, that strategizing, and as a support person. All right, friends, that's what we've got today. I know this was quite a niche conversation, but like I said, it's been coming up more and more. So I hope this is helpful. And I just want to remind you that I don't run ads intentionally on this podcast. So this is a labor of love for me. And one of the most incredible ways to say thank you for that, if you do get anything out of this podcast, is to leave a rating and review, because it is those reviews, those ratings that help to get these conversations and these tools out to even more people who need them. So thanks for being here, and I'll see you next week. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Regulate and Rewire podcast. If you enjoyed what you heard today, please subscribe and leave a 5-star review to help us get these powerful tools out to even more people who need them. And if you yourself are looking for more personalized support in applying what you've learned today, consider joining me inside RISE, my monthly mental health membership and nervous system healing space, or apply for our one-on-one anxiety and depression coaching program, Restore. I've shared a link for more information to both in the show notes. Again, thanks so much for being here, and I'll see you next time.